Welcome to the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Football, rankings, debates, dad stuff, with your host, Justin Williams and Matt Renshaw.
And welcome everyone to this edition of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. I am your host, Justin Williams, and with me, as always, my good friend, Matt Renshaw. How are you today?
Dude, it's my last like week before I start working again.
I know it. You get to work like the rest of the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every day. And you have a really great job. You get to teach the nation's youth.
The youth of America.
Yeah. Our next president, maybe, one day.
Maybe.
The governor, if you will.
Doubt it. But
wow.
Maybe. There's never been a president from Iowa or Nebraska.
Facts.
I have to fact check that. I'm not sure if that's true.
No, I already said facts, so it's done. It's done. I feel like there had to have been. Yeah, decent odds. 50 states.
From Iowa.
Bunch of presidents.
Iowa's past. Presidential past.
Wow, we are starting off on a high note.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that much.
No, that's okay.
Wow. So no? Nobody out of Iowa?
Oh, yeah.
Who'd we get?
Herbert Hoover.
Oh, Herbie. How do we forget about Herbie Hoover?
Yep, that's the one.
Herbie Hoover.
There you go. I think Nebraska has one, too.
It doesn't matter. This episode of Great Fantasy Football Content is brought to you by DiceTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating. Gerald Ford.
I'm sure they're going to love this when they hear it.
Gerald Ford was born in Omaha, Nebraska. Technically, here's a dad stat for you. The only president to not get elected president.
Hey. There we go.
Boom.
Okay, can we talk...
I was a history major in college. Just throwing it out there. Family stories, though.
It's a weird flex, but okay. So, Matt, family stories, let's go. You go ahead and start. Usually you're a better starter than finisher.
No, I can finish.
That's not what I hear. What do you got?
So this week, we are figuring out that our kids will mime. Not mime, mimic. They'll repeat everything we say.
Oh, yeah.
So. My, no, not bad. My not youngest, bad. And they're playing together, whatever, and they have like this dollhouse set, and there's a baby and a mom and a dad, and I found out something that I do from my youngest this week. So she's like, I have to go potty, and I said, oh, well, then, you know, go potty. She's like, no, daddy, the baby is telling her daddy she has to go potty, and I was like, oh, okay. And then she picks up the daddy and puts the baby like in the daddy's arms. And then she goes, don't go in your pants. Don't go in your pants. Don't go. And like runs to the bathroom. And I'm like, so apparently every time my youngest says she has to go to the bathroom, I pick her up and yell, don't go in your pants. Don't go in your pants. And yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
I'm like, oh. And our oldest is like the other day she said, daddy, I really want to be like mommy. And I was like, oh, you know, that's good. And I told my wife. And then that night when my wife came home from work, my oldest literally copied every sentence my wife said to me as she was talking to me, and I said, yeah, she wants to be just like you, so you can deal with that one.
There you go.
Yeah. Cool. And she did. I mean, she was very flattered. And
oh, sure.
Yeah.
So, of course.
So, yeah. What about you?
Not much. I tried to stay away from my phone as much from all the DMs we got from people that live in Illinois.
Yeah.
Weren't very happy
they
with my Chicago take. But, I mean, it is what it is.
They hate you. And people think you need to learn that you can't play bowling.
I'll debate that till the day I die. Too many people take bowling way too seriously. I like to play bowling.
You can't play bowling. It's a verb.
So, yeah, anyways, I've been kind of feeling under the weather this weekend, so I didn't really do a lot with the family. But this week,
yeah,
the wife went ahead and started to potty train our 2-year-old.
Nice.
Yeah.
Any like tricks, tips?
We're only like 2 days in. Okay. Now this is my wife's second go around with this deal, so she kind of knows what to do.
Right.
First time with a girl, obviously, but she knows what to do.
I assume girls are easier.
She has this whole game plan. She got this little Minnie Mouse like potty watch, which looks like a little toilet.
Okay.
So like every like 30 minutes or whatever, it plays like this music and lights up and goes crazy.
Like the pee tune?
Yeah. So it's like you're pretty much programming the kid. Like when this goes off, now I got to go to the toilet.
Okay.
Right. So that's kind of a pretty good idea. And then she rewards her with these lifesaver like gummy snacks.
Okay.
Yep. When she goes.
We did that.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, all right. I like the plan. Got a good game plan. Let's see how it works.
Right.
So we're only like 2 days in, like I mentioned. We're gonna see how that works out. And so far it's
she's still in pull ups then? Like, are you doing her pull ups?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I have heard, and I have two girls, but if you have a boy and you're potty training a boy, somebody said, just let them go naked, like in the kitchen or somewhere with like a tile floor. And then when they start peeing, I'm like, oh, that's what that means. Like, I had someone told me, that's what I do with my boy. Never peed, not in the toilet ever again.
I don't know if that's good parenting advice or not. I'm not really sure.
I don't have any boys, so I don't know.
Well, that's not what we did with our boy. I know that. We didn't just like let him
just pee,
take a whiz in our kitchen.
And then,
you know,
I don't know, yeah.
Like that was never.
Then you put his nose in it. And
no,
like,
no, we no? never gave him the green light for that one. We never put any of their faces in human urine. Moving on, Matt, we have a lot to get to. This is actually one of the most news and notes. Like,
it's not June anymore.
We've had in months.
Yes.
I mean, months. Like,
see it
pre-draft.
All.
It's ridiculous.
You bled ink all over this paper.
All over the paper. And, you know, I thought I had a lot here. I really did. I was like, man, I don't
you
know if I'm going to be able
to. Yeah, you do
I
have
did.
A lot.
I do, but then I sit down, I hit record, and rotoworld.com has a brand new story about Mr. Andrew Luck. Everyone's favorite quarterback.
This guy that's going to get hurt again?
Yeah. So, apparently, the Colts GM, Chris Ballard, he comes out and he says, Andrew Luck's ankle needs to be addressed. What is this? Addressed?
Yeah.
What's going on?
He hasn't played and he hasn't practiced in like 3 or 4 days. And
now, this is on rotoworld.com, and the source is Mike Chappelle on Twitter. Quote, Luck underwent more testing recently, and the Colts believe Luck doesn't exactly have the small little bone issue they originally thought he had. Instead, they are now focusing on the high ankle area. It's certainly odd that they haven't found the exact cause of Luck's discomfort, especially since he's been dealing with it for months, but the Colts remain confident that he'll be ready for week one. Ballard said they are taking Luck day by day while they fine-tune his rehab treatment. There are no plans for surgery at this time.
So what's Andrew Luck's middle name? Because I think it's bad. Andrew Bad Luck. Dude's been hurt, what, two off seasons in a row now?
Yeah, this is not good. That's just not something I want to hear. I don't want to hear about my young starting quarterback having an ankle issue. The dude's mobile, too. The dude does move around a little bit.
Yeah.
This is the last thing you want to hear if you're a Luck owner. Governor. Damn it.
Oh,
Governor.
Yeah.
See, I am not at top of my game. I don't feel well. I have allergies are kicking in.
Yeah. Oh, Luck, yeah. I mean, he came back last year, but he missed a whole year with a shoulder injury. And now we have a foot/ankle injury or whatever it is. We don't really know what it is. Is he injury prone?
I hate that,
by the way. But
oh, it's a stupid term.
Yeah.
We've discussed that many a times. Is there... Like, what do you think of Andrew Luck this year? Like, how does this affect his value for you? If you have a startup draft going on this week or next week, where are you at now?
He's still young. He's still a top quarterback. And I mean, obviously, Mahomes is the QB1.
Of course.
Baker's probably in the top five.
Well,
Wentz.
As of a couple days ago, DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
They updated their quarterback rankings, and they had Andrew Luck as the QB2.
Yeah.
So Mahomes, Luck, then they had Baker, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson.
I'll disagree.
So
Watson's my two.
I mean, everybody's going to have their own rankings.
I know.
But
yeah, yeah.
Just kind of a good place to start, I guess. So moving on to my regular scheduled news and notes.
Yeah, let's see it.
The NFL suspended Brown. You know what? I don't want to talk about him yet.
It's the first week of real preseason football.
Yeah, it is the first week of real preseason football.
Did anybody impress you?
Oh, we're going off script. No.
What?
No,
I got one name.
I have a couple things we're going to talk about. And
I'll leave it then.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit. If I had to name a name, it'd be Jacoby Myers, but we're going to get crazy here in a minute.
Okay.
So let's talk about Antonio Brown first. He had an interesting week.
AB.
Yeah. Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I tweeted.
We had the frostbite incident. Yeah, that we're going to talk about the tweet. The frostbite incident with his feet. he threatened to retire unless he had his old helmet.
I'm going
to
leave.
His grievance was denied, by the way. That came out today. Yep. And he took to Twitter to say that he's working on his health and he looks forward to playing. But this my season. Goodness, what the heck happened?
Yeah.
What a week. Did it was a whirlwind.
That he tweeted out, I'm looking for a helmet if anybody's got one.
Yeah. He's having a little bit of a sense of humor about it, seems like. Does this just feel like, I don't know, this feels like
T.O.
Terrell Owens. This feels all like Chad Johnson. Again. This feels like Terrell Owens doing sit-ups in his driveway.
Yes.
Like, that's what this feels like. This feels like Chad Johnson putting on a gold jacket on the field.
Yeah. T.O., I want to put it at the T.O. level, because T.O. was trying to get out of town, and A.B. just got to town.
It feels like he's trying to get himself more popularity for after football.
And he's friends with both of them. He hung out with them both this offseason, and
We see this all the time. We see these elite wide receivers as they get older, after their prime is questionable, they start to do these off-field antics. Yeah. They get wild. They try to be in the starlight as much as possible.
They dye their mustaches blonde.
Which, by the way,
cryogenically freeze their feet.
Looks amazing. It's weird. It's just a weird thing. You had probably one of our most active tweets in quite a while.
I was willing to buy everyone that retweeted it a game-worn AB jersey if he actually retired over a helmet. Raiders game-worn jersey.
For those of you who didn't catch that, it's game-worn.
Game-worn.
Which he hasn't played a game for the Raiders.
Not.
Some people got it. Some people did get it.
Some people didn't. I saw some people quote tweet it, and then their friends were like, read that again.
Yeah.
Like, duh.
Duh.
Come on, man.
The Texans went ahead and acquired Duke Johnson.
Yes.
This is something we didn't get a chance to talk about last week.
Yes.
The Texans acquired Duke Johnson from the Browns in exchange for a conditional 2020 fourth-round pick. NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reports the pick can become a third-rounder. Don't know how, but it can be.
Plays like 6 or 9 games.
Ah, okay.
Like, it's very attainable. I expect it to be a third-round pick.
Duke Johnson will not play in Saturday's preseason game against the Lions. Johnson is apparently nursing a hamstring injury. There's no word on the severity yet. Matt, what are you expecting from Duke Johnson in Houston?
Everything that everyone expected out of Foreman.
Did people have high hopes for Foreman? Because I didn't.
When he came out, they did.
A couple years ago.
There are some people out there that think Duke Johnson is going to be the starter in Houston. I disagree. But because Lamar Miller has done it, like, every year that's, Lamar Miller's done. And he's just a solid, consistent, mid to low running back too. There may be weeks where Duke Johnson outscores him, catches passes, breaks free, gets in the open field. He could maybe be a three down back.
Maybe. Duke Johnson is not a three down back guy.
I didn't say he was. I said maybe. But I'm still rolling with Lamar Miller.
Oh. So this didn't really hurt Lamar Miller's value to you?
To me, no. It actually gave me an opportunity to buy Miller in a couple places.
Wow. Yeah. See, I think it hurts Lamar Miller just a tad. Just a tad. You don't give up a real life third round pick and not like find out what you got.
No. No, I no. But have they ever had a pass catching running back in Houston? Can you remember a pass catching running back in Houston?
Not off the top of my head, but it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. New year. A lot of young players.
Maybe.
Pretty sure there's different members of that coaching staff.
Yeah, I don't have stats to back it up. It's just me. I've been a Lamar Miller fan. I know Duke Johnson catches passes. That's usually something I like in running backs.
Now, I'm not arguing that there's value to be had with Lamar Miller at all. You and I both are on the same boat. We like Lamar Miller because Lamar Miller, like we said last week, has a very high floor.
Yes.
Lamar Miller will get you 6 to 8 points every week. You can count on it, unless he has a tremendously bad game. He's going to get you something. He's going to be involved in the offense.
Right.
Now, with Duke Johnson there, I think it's going to cut into that workload for Lamar Miller, and maybe that's a good thing for Lamar, Mr. Miller, if you will.
Maybe. The Texans don't have a tight end, so maybe this is the dump-off safety valve option for Watson.
Do you like Lamar, or do you like Duke Johnson, I should say, better now that he's a Texan than before when he was in Cleveland.
Yes.
I think it's about the same for me. I didn't really think
Nick Chubb backfield overload, and then they brought in Kareem Hunt, knowing that we're not going to use Duke Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're probably right. I think a lot of people gave him the boost up because a lot of people seen, oh, okay, Lamar Miller sucks, because that seems to be the popular opinion. Yeah. And
just
nobody
like
likes
Daniel
Lamar
Jones
Miller.
Is terrible, and right. Don't draft Josh Allen because, you know, just the same tired, I don't know, headlines or attention-grabbing things that analysts say to the people that catch on.
By the way, our hot takes episode is coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I've got a couple already.
Now, with Duke Johnson out of Cleveland, it's full steam ahead for Nick Chubb. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, good gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I saw some drafts where he's going 103, which is crazy. But I don't think it's crazy. You don't think it's crazy at 103?
Is there a safer pick at running back right now?
Yes.
Okay. Who is it?
McCaffrey.
See, there's talk, so they don't want McCaffrey doing red zone stuff.
Yeah, who's going to take the red zone carries from McCaffrey?
Cam Newton.
Okay, but to say they're looking for a running back, bull, I don't believe you. Sorry.
You think that McCaffrey is safer?
Safer than Nick Chubb?
Than Nick Chubb.
Yes.
I don't know.
Last year, the Browns had no real wide receiver one. I know you're a big Jarvis fan. Jarvis is a wide receiver one.
Jarvis is a wide receiver one.
Okay, that's why they traded for Odell. Because
if you could trade for Odell Beckham Jr. at the price that they got Odell Beckham Jr., I think you would do that too.
There's more mouths to feed in Cleveland now, as far as receptions.
But there's not more mouths to feed in that backfield.
No, yeah, they didn't sign Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, he's not going to play until week eight, Matt.
I know.
Well, you know what your team is by week eight.
So you think
Kareem Hunt's going to come in there at week eight and like mess
Nick
with
Chubb over Saquon over McCaffrey?
No. See, there you go again. You're putting words in my mouth. That's not what I said. I said who is the safest. I think an argument can be made for Duke, or if not for Duke Johnson, for Nick Chubb to be the safest running back this year. I won't see that argument at all.
I'm just waiting to hear it.
There is nobody in that backfield the first 8 weeks at all. It is the Nick Chubb show. He has young legs. We know he's a very talented running back, an extremely talented running back, and it's in a high-powered offense. If they want to run the ball, it's going to Nick Chubb. Like, I like Barkley, too. I like Barkley a lot. I think Barkley is probably your RB1. I think he should be, at least, for everybody. But Barkley is on a really bad team.
Okay, so Nick Chubb or Joe Mixon?
Nick Chubb. And it's not close.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Wow.
Let's play this game.
Nick Chubb or Barkley?
It's Barkley.
Nick Chubb or McCaffrey? Wow, that's not that hard. Nick Chubb or Alvin Kamara?
I go Kamara.
Thank you. Nick Chubb or Zeke?
Right now? Totally Chubb.
You're an idiot.
Totally Chubb.
You're an idiot.
Big Chubb all around.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say to you right now.
Now, in 8 weeks, that's a name we haven't talked about. And I know we're going to talk about it a lot when we get to week eight. But probably Kareem Hunt, holy smokes. That dude could have a huge spike in value.
He could be a league winner.
He could absolutely be a league winner. When you're looking at these rosters, you're looking at this player pool ahead of time, before the season starts, you can pick out these guys that are going to be like, okay, that might be a game changer.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Kareem Hunt should be on that short list.
Could be a game or a league winner.
Yep. 100% agree.
But you got to be in it when he comes back.
That's the thing. You have to have a strong team.
Can't be 0-6, 0-8.
Nope. NFL.com's Ian Rappaport reports that Kiki Cootie has been diagnosed with a not major, that's in quotation marks, ankle injury.
Yep.
However, Coach Bill O'Brien had this to say about Kiki's potential return. And I quote, "Tomorrow? No. A week from now? Probably not." End quote.
Sounds Bill Belichickian.
It sure does.
It's from that tree, right?
Yeah. So we have no idea what's going on with Kiki. We're probably not going to for another couple of days. Eventually, it's going to roll out.
Not
going to
shake that injury-prone tag he's got, huh?
No, he's just not. And it's such a weird dynamic because Kiki is a fairly talented wide receiver. He's a big playmaker, and so is Will Fuller. Right. Will Fuller is a playmaker, but neither of those guys can stay on the field.
Two-thirds of a wide receiver. Three-fourths. I'll give him three-fourths.
It's a shame. It's a shame. You take the healthiest one, you just kind of go from there. Really.
That's why they got Duke Johnson.
There you go.
There it is.
The NFL suspended Browns wide receiver Antonio Callaway 4 games for violating the league's substance abuse policy. Per NFL Network's Mike Garofalo, probably, the ban stems from an incident last year when Callaway was cited for marijuana possession and driving with a suspended license. It's 2019. I take full responsibility for my actions, said Callaway in a statement released shortly after the suspension was announced. I know there's nothing I can say to regain trust. It will be about my actions. Callaway has been running with the backups at Browns training camp, likely in anticipation of his ban.
Yeah, I saw there's a guy that did like a sleepers episode or a breakout episode.
Excuse me.
And he talked about this wide receiver in Cleveland. I don't know if you've heard of him. Rashard Higgins.
Oh, yeah. We talked about Higgins quite a bit last year.
He was one of your breakouts for Cleveland. And he needed an injury or suspension to happen.
Yeah, here you go.
Look.
Higgins is going to be a guy that's going to get some looks. And now the problem is there's way too much talent on that field at the same time. It's going to be really difficult for him.
Yeah, but give the ball to Nick Chubb. He's a RB2. Overall.
See, the problem is with the difference in that argument, though, Matt, is Higgins is the third best wide receiver on the team, where Chubb is clearly the one and only running back worth being rostered week one. End point. By the way, kudos to Callaway for that statement. That was a really good statement. Didn't blame nobody else.
Yeah.
Took full blame for it.
Yeah.
Didn't say there's, you know, anything he can say. He's just going to be about his actions. I like that.
Not my weed in my car under my seat.
Yeah, yeah. Could have seen a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So, where to go from here? Should we talk Jerick McKinnon?
You can talk Jerick McKinnon all you want.
What's that supposed to mean?
You're higher on Jerick McKinnon than I am right now.
I'm not higher on Jerick McKinnon. Don't even.
Read the headline, then we can talk about it.
Jeez, you're ridiculous. You bring in the private life into the podcast.
It's not private life?
The Athletic's Matt Barrows, probably, projects Jerick. That's my new thing, by the way.
I like it. I was just going to say, I like that you do that, because you can't pronounce names for squat.
Projects that Jerick McKinnon to open the 2019 season on injured reserve. I want to read that again. He projects, this guy that's a writer, projects that Jerick McKinnon
there it is.
Opens up 2019 on the injured reserve. Now, McKinnon had a setback on his injured knee, and the 49ers now have limited options since the team prematurely took him off of the active PUP list last week. The Niners can make McKinnon inactive until he's ready to play, or they can place him on the injured reserve, which would keep him sidelined for 8 games, but does free up a roster spot. It's a decision the 49ers will make in a couple of weeks once they see how McKinnon is progressing, though it's been a slow rehab thus far.
Did you see that the Niners put Coleman on IR today? Sean Coleman.
See, you can't do that, Matt. This is a podcast. You can't do that.
I just told him to reveal.
Sean Coleman.
Sean Coleman.
Okay.
For your IDP people.
Before we dive into Jerick McKinnon, Raheem Mozart is also in the concussion protocol. That just happened this week.
Yep.
And we both know that head injuries like that just have no real timeline. So there's a lot of carries to be had for Tevin Coleman and Matt Breda right now.
Matt, the Terminator Breda.
Yep. Absolutely.
Plays through everything.
So what do you think of this McKinnon news?
He was
facing a really tough backfield.
He was.
And this isn't going to help.
No. And if he starts on IR, he's going to be 8 weeks behind everybody else.
But so, that just means in 8 weeks, fresh legs McKinnon.
So of the first 24 games that he's been under contract with the Niners, he'll play in 0.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah.
It's so rough. I really want to see him not start the season on the IR. But I think at this point, if you do have him on your roster, you need to temper those expectations for week one. Really do.
I don't know how you temper a 0 expectation, but yeah, temper it.
Well, I think a lot of people, this kind of hit him out of left field when they took him off of the PUP list last week.
Yeah.
They made him active last week.
Right.
And everybody's like, oh, okay, well, he must be okay.
Dude has gotten paid to not play.
Yeah. I mean, that happens all the time.
Right. But it's just, they gave him a very, very large contract last year.
They did, because he is a talented guy. He's a special player.
He had one big year.
What more do you want? Do you want these guys to have two big years before they get these massive contracts? That's not how it works.
It's not how any of this works. I don't know. I liked I liked him when he signed in San Francisco because I'm a Shanahan believer. Then he got hurt. Okay, cool, he's coming back. And then they got Coleman, and now it's all muddled and gross. But, yeah, I don't know.
Speaking after Daniel Jones' perfect preseason debut Thursday night, Coach Pat Shurmur advised fans to, quote, slow your roll, end quote, which I love that quote.
Give Eli the ball.
A potential quarterback controversy is what he was speaking of. He wants everybody to slow their roll. There's no controversy over here. Everybody's good. Eli Manning got the start against the Jets in the exhibition opener, going 1 of 1 for 3 yards before the offense was booed off of the field following a 3 and out. Jones was next up on the team's second series, and the number 6 overall pick was a perfect 5 of 5 for 67 yards and capped it off with a touchdown pass to Benny Fowler in the red zone.
Atta boy.
Matt, the media has gone hysterical in their praises of Jones. What says you?
I told you so.
Dude throws 5 passes and Matt's over here. I told you.
No.
He's MVP.
He was just, no, not even. But he was value where you're getting him in drafts, even Superflex leagues. I got him like 48th overall. Mm-hmm. Like dumb. Yeah, this guy is a number 6 overall pick. He's probably going to play. As much as the Giants want to make the wrong decision and start Eli, cool, whatever, do you. But he's got value. I've been banging that drum all offseason.
Yeah. Yeah, you have. You stood next to that. Now, if you're the Giants, you can't possibly start Daniel Jones week 1, right?
No.
Unless something happens to Eli. How soon do you think we see Daniel Jones, though?
I said this as one of two scenarios. One, they're eliminated from playoff contention after starting 0-6. Or two, he starts after their bye because there's no way they can beat the playoffs.
When is the bye for them?
I think it's 9 somewhere. Or 11.
Okay.
It's later
so
in the
fairly
year.
Fairly late.
Yeah.
Give me the under. Would that be the under? I think he does before like the first 8 weeks. I think we see Daniel Jones.
In the first 8 weeks.
Yeah, because those fans in New York are not nice. They're going to be ridiculous.
I don't know. Eli's won 2 Super Bowls.
What does it take?
Week 11 bye.
Like, let's legit think about this. What does Eli have to do to hold Daniel Jones off? Like, because it's going to have to be this out-of-the-world performance, right?
Okay, let's look at the teams. They start with the Cowboys, probably a loss. Then they play the...
You say that? You say
beat
that.
Them, I know.
But the Giants always play the Cowboys tough.
They do. But then they play the Bills. They could probably beat the Bills.
Is the Cowboys game in Dallas?
It's in Dallas, yeah.
That's probably a Cowboy win. If I give you a line of 5.5,
I would take the Cowboys. Even without
6.5.
That's
a tough one.
Cowboys. Cowboys, Bills, Bucks are their first 3 games.
Dak
Redskins
Prescott
is probably a win.
Ugh.
Vikings probably a loss. Patriots probably a loss. Cardinals probably a win. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they were looking.
You're too deep. You can't do that after the first 3 weeks. You can't go further than that because teams change so much.
Okay, the first 3 weeks. Do you think they've won 1 game?
There's a chance they could beat the Bills or the Bucks.
Yeah, I would give
the Bucks have been disappointing.
Yeah,
Eli would have to go like for 350 yards in all 3 of those games, and like 3 touchdowns and a pick.
Yeah.
Each. Like, that's what it's going to take.
And that's not Eli. Eli's not a regular season quarterback. He's a playoff quarterback.
Yeah, and he has to throw to Sterling Shepard.
That's true.
That's the hardest part about
this
scenario.
Slayton, Evan Ingram.
That's a lot of dump-off passes to Barkley.
Yeah. Don't forget Ingram, but yes. Tate's gone. Shepard's hurt.
So the newest Bronco running back to join the fold, Theo Riddick, he's going to miss about 6 to 8 weeks with a fractured shoulder. Riddick reportedly won't need surgery. It's a tough blow for the veteran running back who joined the Broncos just last week, following a 6-year stint in Detroit.
Yeah.
Riddick should miss at least the first couple of regular season games. That's what's being reported by RotoWorld.com. Do you have any hopes for Riddick this year at all?
Nope. You're the Broncos fan.
It's just too crowded. It's just too crowded.
Lots of options.
And this isn't going to help. Now, before the injury, I thought, they might be doing something sneaky.
You think they cut him?
No, I hope not. I want let him get healthy. Let's see what he can do. The team's not going anywhere this year.
What?
You heard me. probably not for a while with Mahomes and Reed and KC. Let's be honest.
You think they're the third or the fourth best team in the division?
I think they're the third, with an argument to be made for second.
No.
If Philip Rivers would ever take a freaking step back. If Melvin Gordon actually sticks to his holdout, and Philip Rivers is like getting old. I mean, he has like 15 kids at home waiting to see dad.
That's why he plays. Support those kids.
Welcome to the Dynasty Dad Show.
He's got a dynasty, that's for sure.
Oh my gosh. Too many.
Like he could have a softball team play another softball team while a third softball team is waiting to play. We got winner.
By the way, and a follow-up from last week's show, Uncle Rico Gathers was signed by the Cleveland Browns after being released by the Dallas Cowboys. Gathers has 3 catches for 45 yards over 146 career snaps, but now he's on a good team, so who knows?
Woohoo!
Happy trails, Dallas Cowboys.
Deuces.
It's time. I've been kind of pushing this back, but it's time. We got to talk about him. Patriots wide receiver Jacoby Myers caught 6 of 8 targets for 69 yards and 2 touchdowns in Thursday's preseason opener. Reportedly, Tom Brady's favorite target thus far in camp. The undrafted free agent caught scores from both Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham. Ah, Matt, it's that time of the year again. Wide receivers coming out of nowhere. Also, by the way, Patriots did release Danny Etling. He was the QB that was transitioning to wide receiver. So, one less name to worry about. But Jacoby Myers, we talked about him last week. We mentioned him because he was kind of starting to get some buzz.
Yeah.
A lot of the Massachusetts boys were talking about Mr. Myers. And here we go. The first time to see him in pads, first time to see him in action, and has a great game with, I mean, quarterbacks that are nowhere near as good as Tom Brady.
Right.
Are you buying yet? Are you buying on Jacoby Myers?
What's his third round in a rookie draft?
Hey guys, we need to take a time out here to tell you about FantasyData.com. FantasyData.com offers fans the ability to download statistics, projections, and get their hands on some of the best premium fantasy football advice and insight in the industry. Best of all, it's at a price that won't break the bank.
FantasyData.com features advanced efficiency metrics, advanced player metrics, and plenty of other advanced metrics and dad stats that only the most educated fantasy players know about. And it's easy to navigate and sort for that one piece of data that no one else can find. Be sure to use promo code DYNASTY20, all one word, to receive a 20% discount. That's promo code DYNASTY20 on FantasyData.com.
Well, Mike Clay over at ESPN.com, he went ahead and had his rankings update about 3 days ago, and he had Jacoby Myers at 42 overall for rookie drafts.
Yikes.
42 overall.
That seems late. What are some other names around him?
Well, that's ahead of Hunter Renfro.
Okay, yep.
You agree with that?
I agree.
I think they're pretty neck and neck at this point. That's over Kelvin Harmon. That's over Darius Slayton.
Mm.
That's far ahead of Ty Johnson, who I really like.
You do like him. Who's he? Let's see.
Keyshawn Johnson.
I take him over Benny Snell.
Yep. Well, Benny Snell is actually ahead of him.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I would take him over Benny Snell. I'd take him over Quadre Olson.
Yeah. Let's see. Tony Pollard, because I love saying his name wrong. Pollard is ahead of him.
Okay, if we're talking just wide receivers in New England, like I can think of 3 I'd rather have.
Riley Ridley or Jacoby Myers?
Myers.
I think the same thing. I'm with you. He has Riley Ridley like almost 15 spots ahead of him.
Yeah.
Gary Jennings Jr. Give me Jacoby Myers.
Yeah.
Let's play name game. Let's do it. All Jacoby right. Myers or Jalen Hurd?
Hurd.
Ooh. Miles Boykin?
Boykin. Oh, easy. Goodness.
Okay, so you're not going crazy yet. Terry McLaurin.
McLaurin, actually.
Probably. Okay.
A lot of good news.
Hakeem Butler.
Butler?
Yeah.
I'll take Myers.
Butler's actually the highest name ranked on this list that I gave you.
What?
Yep.
Then Mike all those names is wrong.
Hakeem Butler was the highest up there.
Butler. Get out of here.
DK Metcalf.
I feel like I have to ask you that
serious?
Question because
DK
I,
Metcalf.
Yeah.
DK, yeah.
Okay. You hated DK all offseason.
No,
I don't know if you changed.
Okay. I haven't changed. I would just take him over an undrafted wide receiver.
So this is really interesting, though, because this is the exact scenario we talked about last week. Guys that perform in the preseason.
Jeff Janis.
Guys.
Jeff Janis.
Or Jeff Janis. Guys that perform. I just like how you just blurted out the name. These are guys that perform in the offseason. It always happens with wide receivers, the preseason, and then they get some hype around them, and then week one happens, poof, and bada bing, bada boom.
You gone.
This roster still has Edelman on it. Still has...
N'Keal Harry. Philip Dorsett. Maurice Harris.
Cameron Meredith. And Demaryius Thomas. My boy.
Yeah, it's your
who
boy.
Who they got for, like, nothing. He's cheap.
Yeah.
He's on the cheap.
Even Dontrell Inman.
Yeah, and Inman. Inman's an okay player. He's a nice depth guy.
I mean, I know he's getting praise, but it's New England. Like, I feel like they've got 9 running backs and 17 wide receivers and so many different pops each week, and can't wait for Jared Stidham to start catching passes from Tom Brady. Sorry, did I wet blanket you?
No, I'm just trying to, I'm kind of like looking into myself here and trying to figure out where I'm at on Jakobi Meyers, because I'm actually buying. I like Jakobi Meyers a lot. Anywhere I could pick him up, I picked him up.
He just went in the 3rd round of a team. I just took over an orphan.
That could end up being a steal. Like, are we talking 3rd round?
Of a rookie draft.
Okay. That could end up being a steal. We
could
look back at that in 4 weeks and be like, wow, that was a third round guy.
Oh, you want to talk about late round rookies that we like? I can. I want to make sure we got this here. Jakobi Meyers went 309, so pick number 37 overall.
Wow.
You want to talk about undrafted wide receivers tearing it up? Preston Williams.
Let's go Miami. On. Let's do Preston Williams. Okay, so Dolphins undrafted rookie wide receiver Preston Williams caught 4 of 5 of his targets for 97 yards in Thursday night's preseason opener, and he's, by the way, with the Dolphins. So that's kind of, it's almost more impressive, really,
yeah,
when you think about it.
Josh Rosen was throwing him the ball.
Right. Williams was undoubtedly the star of that game. He's 6'4", 211 pounds. He's an outside weapon. He drew a couple of defensive pass interference calls against the Falcons and made some ridiculously tough grabs in traffic. Now, Williams has shined all camp, just like Jakobi Meyers, and RotoWorld.com says the following. Quote, he has legit wide receiver one traits and only went undrafted because of his littered off-field history.
Drug tests, transferred, more drug tests. Yes. Domestic violence.
With an absolutely grotesque wide receiver room, Preston Williams may be the belle of the ball in Miami.
That's right.
Dude, he could. That's a guy that's going to get opportunity.
That's right.
Devontae Parker, who? I mean, Devontae Parker has just flushed away every opportunity he's ever had to shine in Miami. Flush it away. And here comes Preston Williams, possibly to finally dethrone him as whatever the heck he is in Miami. Wide receiver one, if you want to call him that.
Yeah. Scary, right?
Preston Williams or Jakobi Meyers?
Preston Williams.
I think so, too.
Wow.
I think
not
so,
not what I thought you just would say.
There's just too much talent on the Patriots roster.
Yeah.
There's too much.
And it's always unpredictable.
Extremely
new,
very volatile
regime, and New England's setup has been there a long time with Belichick. Miami's got a new setup. Nobody knows what it's going to be. Maybe Williams blows up. He's the guy.
Let's see. Jermaine Kearse has been diagnosed with a broken left leg and assorted injuries to his ankle. It's the worst possible news, but not surprising after the way Kearse went down. The 29-year-old. His 2019 is clearly over. Kearse has been fighting for the number 4 duties in the Lions offense, but Detroit now has little of note behind Kenny Galladay, Marvin Jones, and Danny Amendola. Matt, of those three, are any of them not worth a roster spot in dynasty leagues?
No, I actually like all three.
All three should be owned.
I would, yes. You know what was interesting about hearing Javon Kearse got hurt?
What's that?
Knowing that Javon Kearse played on the line. I didn't know that. I learned that from that injury.
Yeah.
Had no clue.
He's a depth guy. I am kind of surprised to hear you say that all three of those guys should be rostered, though.
Yeah, Danny Amendola is going to be a PPR
maybe
producer.
It's a run first team.
It is a run first team with a tight end that they drafted 8th overall that's going to be the second tight end on the depth chart now.
And you think that these three wide receivers should be owned 100% of leagues?
Yeah. Hmm. I think I would own them in leagues where they're available. Yes.
Okay.
I don't think they'll be owned in 100% of leagues. No.
I'm guessing you rank them like most with Galladay, Marvin Jones, and then Amendola?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is Amendola a close second?
No.
Yeah, me.
Not even.
Distant third. I titled this next one as The Next Gronk.
New England get a tight end?
Yeah. Patriots tight end Matt Lacoste. Probably. He's been ruled out. It might be Cussay. He's been ruled out for the second preseason game. And the San Diego Union Tribune's David Chow, probably, believes that Lacoste has a high ankle sprain. If true, he'll likely miss the rest of the preseason and be questionable for week one. Lacoste's injury. I'm sorry. His injury opens up snaps for Eric Saubert. Steven Busta Anderson and Lance Kendricks behind suspended tight end Ben Watson.
Or there's that Gronk guy.
Yeah, something tells me we're not going to get a lot of tight end production out of the Patriots this year at all.
There's that Gronk guy. I think he's coming back.
It's too late. It's too
late to come back?
Yeah, it's too late. We would have heard some buzz by now. It's not happening.
I don't mean for week one. I just mean this season.
Oh.
So you go through 3 or 4 weeks and your tight ends are awful. Brady getting beat up.
Are you hyped at all for Ben Watson?
Hyped? No. Is anybody hyped for Ben Watson?
I don't know. I just feel like Ben Watson has to be free right now. He has to be free.
Yeah.
All the ups and downs the tight ends have had in New England this offseason, this preseason.
I would assume Ben Watson is free or close to it.
How old he is, too.
He has so many kids.
I mean, if you have a really deep roster, I mean, I don't know. He might be worth a gamble. Like super, super late.
Yeah. If it's in a tight end premium league, he should be owned.
Oh, sure. Oh, for sure. The Packers went ahead and released running back Corey Grant, 28 years old, and struggled to find a team this offseason due to that Liz Frank injury last season.
Corey Grant, you liked him. He was fast.
No. Some are saying that this may be a career for Grant, which is sad. He is fast. That was what I've said in the past and on this podcast is that's all he is he's fast.
Yeah.
He's not an every down guy, but he's a playmaker.
He's a guy that you get on Madden as your running back too.
Right. He's also undersized. That's always been a big negative for him. Undersized. So hopefully he figures out something, but it's not looking good. We'll probably never say that name again. Let's be honest. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports that the Bucs D-tackle Vita Vea has been diagnosed with a sprained LCL and will be sidelined 6 to 8 weeks. The Bucs are reportedly hopeful Vea can be ready in 4 to 5 weeks. Either way, it sounds like a long shot. Vea will be ready for week one, and he has battled knee injuries each of his first two seasons after being taken number 12 overall last season.
That's that IDC. News,
IDP,
right?
Matt.
IDC, because I don't ignorant. Care.
You're ignorant.
IDC.
Ignorant. Almost done here. I told you I had a lot of news.
I know. I'm not upset.
Well, you got to get some IDP stuff
just
in there.
Resetting. IDC.
He's a big name for the IDP world. A lot of upside, but he hasn't done anything yet. Anyway, I'm sorry. Uh-huh. Free agent wide receiver Rishard Matthews has announced his retirement from the NFL after 7 seasons. The announcement comes just 2 days after Matthews was let go by the New Orleans Saints. They had signed him 2 months prior, so pretty brief stint. Rishard Matthews, the football player, no longer exists, and it's okay, wrote Matthews in an Instagram post Monday morning. I tend to agree with him. He says, it was cool being a professional football player and getting to play a kid's game for work. I will always be a fan of the best sport in the world. But for me, that kid's game no longer exists. Drafted 227th overall in 2012, Matthews enjoyed a productive 7-year stint in the pros, logging 220 catches for 3,160 yards and 21 touchdowns over 87 games for the Dolphins, Titans, and Jets. 29 years old. Matt, any Rishard Matthews memories?
I was going to ask you what your favorite Rishard Matthews memory was.
I don't have one. Probably this one here, him retiring.
Talking about him? I remember him in Tennessee, but I don't have any big memories.
Yeah, I can't remember him doing anything notable.
What?
I just... the Tennessee kind of rings
remember
a bell.
In 2016 when he was with Tennessee and he almost got 1,000 yards? 945? 9 touchdowns?
Yeah. Nate Sudfeld is expected to miss 6 weeks after undergoing wrist surgery Friday morning. Sudfeld broke his left non-throwing wrist in Thursday's exhibition opener against Tennessee. With Sudfeld on the shelf, look for Cody Kessler to begin the year holding the clipboard for starter Carson Wentz.
If you're a quarterback in Philly, you need to get insurance.
Absolutely.
Or something. Roto insurance for yourself.
Hey, they didn't pay for time. Oh, my damn bad. It. My what bad. Are you doing?
Oh. Anyway, no, yeah, like, that's terrible.
Unbelievable.
It's terrible.
I can't believe you did that.
What?
Mention Roto insurance on this podcast.
They were one of the first.
It's DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
Yeah, shout out to those guys. Long-time sponsors. Old-time sponsors.
That's true.
Need to get they've in contact
been,
they, with them.
They've been fans from the beginning.
That's true. That's fair. Gave him a nice freebie. I'm not doing that again. Don't do that again. I'm serious. No more of that. Man, that's all I got for you, though, man. That was all the news. That was all the notes.
Oh, that was it?
That was it. I told you we're going to end on a high note. Nate Sudfeld, probably.
That's your high note?
That's my high note.
I feel sorry for your wife.
I don't get it. So we got some more preseason action going on. And Matt, you have a bit of an announcement about next week's show, right? We're not going to have one.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to have one.
Unbelievable.
I'm sorry.
First time you're giving away all this free advertising time. And now you're telling everybody you're not even going to have a show next week.
I won't be here.
Garbage.
Sorry.
Garbage.
I'll be active on Twitter, but I will not be able to record.
That's right. We will be on Twitter at Dynasty Dads, a part of the DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
Podcast umbrella. And be sure to check out DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
For all your merchandise and your calculators and your ADPs and your rankings and all that. Because we know a lot of drafts are going on right now.
That's right.
So, yeah. Tis the season, Matt. We are a couple weeks away. And while we don't have an exact date, we do hear you. We know everybody wants the hot take episode. It is coming.
We got it. It's usually week 3, week 4 of the preseason.
You guys cannot possibly think that we're not going to do our hot take episode.
I can't wait to laugh at your hot takes yet again.
We're slowly but surely starting to put them into our little spreadsheet here. We're getting ready. And boy, oh boy.
I'm going to kill it again.
Matt's hot takes are ridiculous.
I'm going to kill it yet again.
They're terrible. They're absolutely terrible. Let's be honest.
They'll probably have data behind them, and yours will just be Andy Dalton's backup's really good.
Did you see? I'm not even going to do it. I see what you did there. You're baiting me in. There was actually a little blurb I seen today about it, and I'm not even going to do it. I'm going to wait until he's MVP of the league. All so right. Be sure to check us out in a couple of weeks. That feels weird to say, but do keep it locked on DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
And we are out.
We out.